Hi, this is Gordon Deal. The award-winning Wall Street Journal This Morning starts right after this. Wix.com lets you easily create a beautiful professional website for free. With hundreds of stunning templates, cool features, and popular apps, you can get your business online today. Start now at Wix.com. That's W-I-X.com.
Live from the newsroom of the Wall Street Journal, this is the Wall Street Journal This Morning, America's first news with Gordon Deal.
More unrest in a St. Louis suburb. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Gina Cervetti. It is Monday, August 18. Glad you could be with us. Here's what's up this hour.
Confrontations continue in Ferguson, Missouri, more than a week after an unarmed man was killed by police. We'll take you there for more on last night's violence between protesters and law enforcement.
Texas Governor Rick Perry has been indicted for abuse of power, but even some of his critics disagree with the charges.
The basic item unavailable at hospitals in West Africa that could have prevented some deaths from Ebola.
And more police officers are wearing cameras on their uniforms. What kind of impact is this having?
What the police chief said is going on is he thinks when the camera's rolling, everyone's behaving better, police and citizens, so it keeps everyone honest as well.
Wall Street Journal reporter Zusha Ellenson on wearable cameras for law enforcement. He's here in about 10 minutes. A private autopsy performed on the 18-year-old Missouri man shot by police has found that he was struck by two bullets in the head and six bullets overall. The first autopsy on Michael Brown was conducted by the St. Louis County Medical Examiner's Office. The U.S. Justice Department announced yesterday that it has ordered its own autopsy. The results came as a march last evening protesting Mr. Brown's death last weekend turned violent between police and protesters in Ferguson, Missouri. Missouri Highway Patrol Captain Ron Johnson, who's in charge of the police operation now in Ferguson.
I believe the continued resolve of the good people of this community will ultimately triumph over the few people bent on violence and destruction.
More now from Wall Street Journal reporter Pervez Shelwani, who was there as chaos erupted. He joins us on the T-Mobile hotline. Pervez, what did you witness?
It was another night of peaceful protests, or at least protests. Thousands of people were out in the streets in the main drag of Ferguson. At some point, the protesters decided to go on this march. And as they reached a police blockade near the mall, there was some back and forth between the police officers and the protesters, which culminated in officers launching tear gas canisters, or at least gas canisters of some kind, forcing the crowd to disperse. And the police ended up moving through town over the next 15, 20, 30 minutes, ultimately, you know, going on for another couple of hours as they pushed protesters back.
I thought there was a sense of calm that had been restored, say, what, Thursday evening when Ron Johnson was put in charge, right when the State Highway Patrol came in.
It didn't seem to last very long. By Saturday night, the situation was, and Friday night, the situation was somewhat tense again.
All right, so now there's word, what, National Guard is coming in?
Governor Nixon announced that the National Guard has been ordered to come into Ferguson.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Pervez Shelwani. He's on the ground in Ferguson, Missouri, updating us on the latest unrest there. So at this point, do authorities have any idea how much longer this is going to go on?
It's sort of unclear. I mean, they were heightened enough and sort of concerned about safety enough that they've canceled the first day of the 2014-2015 school year.
The State Highway Patrol Captain Ron Johnson is saying his men are being shot at times, correct?
Shot at, Molotov cocktails thrown at them, you know, just civil unrest. I mean, as we were pulling back, you know, as these canisters were being fired, I mean, we were right in the thick of it. There were canisters at one point that we'd sort of pulled back to the media staging area, and the canisters were just hitting right on the media staging area as well. And as we pulled away from there, one of the protesters had grabbed a large rock and threw it right into a McDonald's window and then threw it at it again, shattering that. And then a few seconds later, other windows we saw being shattered. It was a pretty chaotic night.
All right, so property is still being destroyed then. How big is the area, I guess, where the unrest is taking place, and how, can you
say
how many?
It's like, about a half a mile to three quarters of a mile.
All right, and how many of the
maybe
stores
longer,
there?
Maybe about a mile.
How many of the stores have been damaged? What percentage? Any guess?
A lot of them are boarded up. It's unclear if they, you know, are boarded up because they've been damaged, or are they being boarded up before they get damaged. But the place looks like, you know, it's seen a lot of action the last week or so. There's a lot of boarded up windows. There's a lot of broken windows. There's a lot of stores that are closed. There's a couple that have been burned out.
Thanks, Pervaiz. Wall Street Journal reporter Pervaiz Shalwani from Ferguson, Missouri. By the way, President Obama is back in Washington, landing just after midnight this morning. It's apparently just a two-day break from his summer vacation on Martha's Vineyard off the coast of Massachusetts. The exact reason for his return remained unclear, although it appeared aimed in part at countering criticism that he was spending 2 weeks on the beach and on the golf course as multiple crises were ongoing, including airstrikes in Iraq and, of course, the unrest in Ferguson, Missouri. The president has meetings on both matters scheduled for today, but he is expected to return to vacation tomorrow night. 12 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning.
As the owner of a delivery company, I have to be in constant contact with my drivers, the warehouse, and my customers. Between scheduling appointments, using GPS, and tracking orders on our smartphones and tablets, we were going way over our data limit every month. That's why I switched to T-Mobile's Simple Choice for Business Plan. My company gets all the data we need without worrying about unpredictable overage charges. Switch to T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/business.
Limited time only, subject to change.
This portion of the program is brought to you by Stamps.com. You know that feeling you get when you can get things done with just a click of your mouse? It can't get more convenient than that. Now you can even get your mailing and shipping done without leaving your desk, thanks to Stamps.com. Stamps.com turns your PC or Mac into your own personal post office that never closes. Talk about convenient. You can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package using your computer and printer. Then just hand your mail to the mailman or drop it in a mailbox. You'll never have to go to the post office again. Right now, use the promo code WSJ for this special offer, a no-risk trial, plus a $110 bonus offer that includes a digital scale that calculates exact postage for letters and packages and up to $55 free postage. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in WSJ. That's Stamps.com. Enter WSJ. Texas Governor Rick Perry has been indicted for abuse of power. He's accused of withholding money from a state prosecutorial unit because its Democratic district attorney refused to resign after pleading guilty to drunken driving. A grand jury indicted Mr. Perry for improperly threatening to veto funding for the Travis County Public Integrity Unit if County District Attorney Rosemary Lemberg didn't resign following an embarrassing drunken driving arrest last year. She was captured on video arguing with police who booked her and had to be physically restrained. Ms. Lemberg declined to leave office. Mr. Perry carried out the veto. He was on Fox News Sunday.
I did what every governor has done for decades, which is make a decision on whether or not it was in the proper use of state money to go to that agency, and I vetoed it.
Mr. Perry could get prison time if convicted. The case has been criticized by Republicans and even some Democrats as an attempt to criminalize hardball politics. Mr. Perry's been working on his national political profile in advance of another possible presidential run. What's more up close and personal than the dashboard cam? More police officers are wearing cameras that tape what they see as they do their job, providing a record in the aftermath of incidents like the one in Ferguson, Missouri, where a policeman shot and killed an unarmed black teenager. Wall Street Journal reporter Zusha Ellenson says new studies have found that the cameras have shown promise in reducing incidents involving use of force while also reducing citizen complaints. Zusha, what are we seeing?
You know, we're looking around the country to see what other police departments do to prevent this sort of thing from happening in the first place. And one of the big things we're just starting to see is police departments adopting the use of these so-called body cameras. And these are tiny little cameras that police wear on their lapels or on their hats or on their glasses. And it basically records all their interactions with citizens. And limited studies of the first departments that have been using this have shown some pretty promising results. There's been pretty precipitous drops in the number of complaints against officers, as well as the number of incidences of use of force.
How common are these?
So far, it's still a minority of police departments in the country, but we talked to Taser International. They make, you know, tasers, obviously, and they also make these little cameras. And they said more than 1,200 police departments have ordered these little cameras from them. And they also said that 80% of their camera sales have come in the last 12 months. So we've seen a big uptick in the purchase of these cameras by police departments around the country.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Zusha Ellenson. For smaller departments, could this be cost prohibitive?
Yeah, so one of these cameras costs, you know, anywhere from $399 to $599, and that's not the real cost. The real cost comes in storing all this video and managing it, and that can be a little difficult for small departments. Bigger departments are slowly adopting these. You see a Las Vegas Police Department, Fort Worth, Los Angeles, they're either all testing it or starting to use them in earnest. And so, you know, you might ask, well, why would this have an effect on use of force incidents or police complaints? So we talked to the chief of police in Rialto, which was, they were really a pioneer in this. That's a Southern California city of about 100,000 in San Bernardino County. And what the police chief said is going on is he thinks that when the camera's rolling, everyone's behaving better, police and citizens. Sort of keeps everyone honest as well.
And what about privacy concerns? Have any issues been raised on that front?
Yes, on both sides, for police and citizens, there have been privacy concerns raised. Police are worried that maybe their superiors would go on sort of fishing expeditions looking for little bad things that police officers may have done but, you know, didn't rise to the level of a complaint. And I think citizens were also a little leery of that. But I think overall those are being overcome. I think in terms of citizens, civil liberties groups are very much in favor of these cameras because they think they curb police misconduct, and that outweighs sort of the privacy concerns.
Zusha, Wall Street Journal reporter Zusha Ellenson. 21 minutes after the hour now on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Gina Cervetti is here with America's First News.
Good morning, and we have some breaking business news this morning. Dollar General is offering almost $10 billion for Family Dollar. We'll keep you posted on that. In Ferguson, Missouri, another night of clashes between protesters and police, more than a week after the police shooting death of teen Michael Brown. Missouri's governor called in the National Guard, and here is Highway Patrol Captain Ron Johnson.
Based on these conditions, I had no alternative but to elevate the level of our response.
Johnson said that as of early this morning, as many as three people were shot, several arrested. An autopsy has found that the 18-year-old Brown was shot six times at the time of his death, including twice in the head. In northeast Arkansas, two train crew members were killed when a pair of Union Pacific freight trains collided. Two other people were hurt. Authorities said the trains were carrying toxic chemicals, but that none of the material was believed to have leaked. Target is experimenting with extending its hours at more than half of its stores. Certain stores will stay open as late as 11 p.m. Sundays, midnight other days. Target needs to get every shopper it can as it grapples with a more than year-long decline in sales. The Justice Department has filed additional charges against FedEx, accusing it of conspiracy to launder money in connection with its prescription drug case that it filed against the company previously. FedEx says it is innocent of all charges and will plead not guilty. Stock futures are trending higher this morning following a positive week on Wall Street. Kate Warren with Edward Jones says this week investors will watch for reports from several companies.
The market will clearly be focused on some of the high-profile earnings from companies like Home Depot, Target, Staples, Lowe's. We've got essentially some retail-related companies there.
And a lot of housing-related news on tap as well. Overseas today, the Hang Seng and the Nikkei edged higher. A Chinese liquor maker has been arrested for secretly adding a version of Viagra to some of its spirits. China's state media said the company purchased the drug online and added it to alcoholic drinks without mentioning the secret ingredient on the label.
Wow.
To increase liquor sales and make money fast, the founder of the company was reported to have said, Gordon.
Possibly dangerous could that be?
Right? I don't know. Hey, if you saw something on the shelf that said nutritional healthy liquor,
yeah,
You might want to be aware that that's what was in it.
Jeez. Thank you, Gina. 24 minutes after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Thanks for being with us. Hospitals and dozens of health centers in Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Guinea have closed because of the Ebola outbreak, just as the World Health Organization estimates the death toll at more than 1,100 people, about half the number who've been infected. Wall Street Journal reporter Drew Hinshaw says workers on the front line feel much of this toll could have been avoided or at least mitigated if they had been provided with medical basics, starting with one of the simplest, disposable rubber gloves. Drew, what's happening?
Liberian doctors have been dying, and nurses, too, have been dying in large numbers. I mean, we are talking about 36 healthcare workers that have died in the past few months from Ebola. And that may sound like a small number, but remember that Liberia only had 51 doctors in the country. It was actually the second lowest country in the world, the World Health Organization says, in terms of the number of physicians per person. And now the number is really low because a lot of doctors have died. And if you talk to the doctors, they tell you a lot of their colleagues died because they didn't have the basic protective gear to handle Ebola patients, starting with rubber gloves.
Why is there a shortage of these basic protections like the rubber gloves?
There's a lot of different answers to that. The basic that the government gives is that, you know, Liberia fought a 14-year civil war, and the government has sort of never really regained its footing. You go into a place like the health ministry in Liberia, and you get the distinct impression that only one or two, or maximum three people really know how to handle this kind of crisis or have any kind of idea how to handle a health ministry at all. It's a government that just doesn't have a lot of know-how. Basic record-keeping on where rubber gloves should go have never been good. The government also says it's really possible there's corruption, that people were misusing money meant to buy rubber gloves or even selling rubber gloves themselves. Those are the basic reasons. The country doesn't have a whole lot of money to buy rubber gloves in the first place, but it's a cheap enough thing where really doctors should have had those even before this Ebola crisis was a threat, let alone several months into it.
Thanks, Drew. Wall Street Journal reporter Drew Hinshaw. It is 30 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. In any business, it's important to maximize your potential. And two keys are strong communication and collaboration. They allow you to close deals faster, problem solve better, and create new opportunities. That's why you need Citrix Go-To Meeting. It's the best, most efficient way to meet with clients and customers from the convenience of your computer, smartphone, or tablet. With Go-To Meeting, you can meet online as often as you like with anyone, anywhere in the world. You can share screens to review documents and presentations together in real time, all while using the built-in HD video conferencing feature to see each other face-to-face to engage and connect. It's just like being in the same room, even when you're miles apart. GoToMeeting allows you to cut out the wasted time and expense of travel so you can be more productive without losing that personal touch of meeting in person. Try GoToMeeting for free today to see what it can do for you. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free for 30 Days button, and use the promo code WSJ. That's GoToMeeting.com, promo code WSJ.
Wake up to the Wall Street Journal this morning, now on the WSJ radio app.
Thanks for being with us on this Monday, August 18. Gordon Deal with Gina Cervetti coming up this half hour. More violent confrontations in Ferguson, Missouri. Progress against terrorists in northern Iraq. And on a lighter note, things that reality TV does not want you to know. We'll have that report in about 20 minutes. WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange is back in the news today. At a news conference a little while ago in London, Mr. Assange and the Ecuadorian ambassador to the UK made the case that he should be free to leave the Ecuadorian embassy. Wall Street Journal reporter Jenny Gross says it's part of a renewed push for him to regain his freedom after 2 years there. She's with us live from London outside the Ecuadorian embassy. Jenny, good morning. What was said today?
Hi, good morning, Gordon. So Julian Assange and the Ecuadorian ambassador made the case that that it's time for him to go and that he has been at the embassy for too long. And Assange said that he would leave soon.
See, he will leave soon, meaning what? Do we know?
Well, he was pretty cryptic, and he gave no indication if it means in 10 minutes or in you know, several months. So I'm outside the embassy now and with a herd of reporters and several police officers waiting to see what will happen.
Wow. So is this one of those situations where if he steps foot off that property, he faces arrest?
Absolutely. The UK Foreign Office has said that that is their intentions, and you know, it's likely he would be extradited to Sweden, where he is for questioning over allegations that he raped a woman and sexually assaulted another.
Right. So is this essentially now Ecuador versus the UK in some sort of political staring contest?
I mean, that's what it seems. The UK Foreign Office said that they are looking to Ecuador to end this difficult and costly situation. But as it seems now, Assange doesn't have that many options, considering he would be arrested as soon as he leaves.
Okay. So what's he been doing? Is he just living there? I mean, does he go outside, like on the property of the embassy, or what's he been up to?
No, he hasn't been outside. I think he lives in several rooms, and that's about it. So it can't be too much fun for him.
Wow. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Jenny Gross, who's with us live this morning outside the Ecuadorian embassy. Where would he go if he left, did he say?
Sorry, I just broke up. I didn't hear you.
Where did Mr. Assange say he would go, or did he?
He didn't say anything at all, so it would... I assume, you know, the police would arrest him as soon as he stepped outside the building. So, he didn't say at all.
Okay. So has the UK had an official response to this?
Yes. They said that they that nothing has changed so far, and that, you know, their plans are the same, and that they're prepared, you know, to work with Sweden.
Wow. So is his health an issue here? I saw something and he's got some heart condition maybe.
Yeah, he has a deteriorating health issue, so that's another reason, and maybe one of the reasons why they called this press conference today to drum up interest in the story again, because, you know, he's been here for 2 years and not that much has happened, and he's certainly succeeded. There are many reporters outside just, you know, standing here and waiting to see what will happen.
Boy, how long do you hang on for it? You know, if you assume that he meant soon, he meant in the next couple of minutes or hours, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's, I think, the question a lot of the reporters here are asking themselves.
Wow, that's something. Hey, thanks for a few minutes. Much appreciated. Wall Street Journal reporter Jenny Gross with us this morning, live from London outside the Ecuadorian embassy, where WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange held a news conference today with the Ecuadorian ambassador to the UK, saying that he plans to leave that embassy soon, but did not specify what soon meant, whether it was a matter of minutes or a matter of weeks or months. 21 minutes now before the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Thanks for spending time with us on this Monday. This portion of the program is brought to you by Pro Flowers. Let the woman in your life know you appreciate all she does. It's been 6 months since Valentine's Day, so she's due. And don't just get her a dozen, get her 18. That's right, 18 red roses plus a free vase for $19.99. This is the biggest sale on red roses of the year. Go to proflowers.com, click on the blue microphone in the top right corner, and use the code WSJ to get this amazing offer. And if that's not enough, you can upgrade to two dozen plus free chocolates and a premium vase for just $9.99 more. Pro Flowers is quick and easy, and you pick your delivery date, and it's guaranteed. Can't beat the price or convenience. Here's the only way to get her this amazing deal. 18 red roses plus a free vase for $19.99. Go to proflowers.com, click on the microphone in the top right corner, and type in WSJ. That's proflowers.com, click on the microphone, and type in WSJ. Order today. This deal expires Friday at midnight. Wall Street Journal this morning's Mike Gavin here now with a look at some of the stories we are following.
Well, it was another night of clashes between protesters and police in Ferguson, Missouri, prompting Missouri Governor Jay Nixon to say he was calling in the National Guard to help restore order in the city. Describing the felony charges against him as a politically motivated farce, Texas Governor Rick Perry was defiant over the weekend in the face of a grand jury indictment over his decision to veto money for an anti-corruption unit. Meanwhile, in Iraq, state TV says Iraqi forces, along with Kurdish troops, have retaken the strategic Mosul Dam from Islamic militants. Gina will have more on all of today's top stories with America's First News coming up. Gordon, it's hard to believe for those of us who never want summer to end, but we're now in the thick of fantasy football season as millions of players are getting ready to draft their 2014 teams if they haven't already. And if you believe the outplacement firm Challenger Gray and Christmas, a lot of that preparation is being done in the office. According to their recent report, employers may lose billions during fantasy football season due to employees shirking their responsibilities at work to focus on managing their fake football teams. In their analysis, they estimate the hours that millions of these players are spending analyzing their teams and checking stats could cost their bosses more than $13 billion in lost productivity, and that workers who play fantasy sports at work spend about 2 hours a week looking at their fake football teams while they're in the office.
Wow. Wow. All right.
But it actually doesn't sound like a whole lot, 2 hours a week, when you consider how much time is probably wasted, things like Facebook and Twitter and Pinterest and who knows what people are doing. 2 hours a week actually doesn't sound like a whole heck of a lot. That's... But then when you look at $13 billion,
right.
That is a lot.
That's a sort of estimated number anyway. But it's, you know, to a certain extent, I mean, can't you make the argument like we do sometimes with the NCAA basketball tournament during work time that it can add to some sort of camaraderie.
Right. And I think Challenger actually says that in the report. They said, look, we're not condemning fantasy sports at the office, but because in some ways, yes, that can actually be a little bit of, there's a lot of companies I know that do leagues within their companies. In fact, I'm going to be joining a league this year, stepping up my fantasy game. I'm going to be joining a Wall Street Journal league myself with some of the reporters in the newsroom. So, you know, it can be kind of a team building type of situation.
Very good. You know, and I was having a conversation with my son, who's 13 and likes this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know what this has done, though? I think it's created a lack of loyalty in terms of being a fan.
Oh, yeah.
Because he now just roots for his fantasy football team.
Right.
It doesn't matter where the players are from.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, a couple of years ago before this started, he liked the Jets. You know, he's sympathetic to his old man, you know, a long-suffering Jets fan. Of course, I work part-time for the Giants, so he had a soft spot for the Giants. And then, you know, he likes random players, but now that he's got fantasy football, and there seems to be no loyalty to any particular team at all. So.
And this was something you and I didn't have when we were kids. We just liked teams, right?
Yeah.
But now these young and impressionable children are sort of coming up in this age of fantasy football, and they don't have to latch onto a team. They just latch onto players. And then if they don't like those players, they'll just get new players next year.
So last year, in my inaugural fantasy football season with my son and a handful of his other friends, I didn't get to do the draft on that Friday night because I had something else to do. So they all took part in the draft, and mine was done by computer. You know, it grabs the next available highest-ranked player. Well, I got demolished. So if that's part of your plan to let the computer do it for you while others are actually doing the hand-picking, good luck.
Yes, listen to Gordon Dale.
So this year it's a little more balanced.
Okay.
The computer did the choosing of all the teams, apparently, for everybody in this league. Now, I saw the list of guys I have. I can't remember a single one. I mean, I know some of the players, but just to show like where the importance is, since there's no money on the line.
Yep.
And where things stand for me. I have a decent team. It's balanced versus what other guys have. But
all right. Yeah. Well,
I'm still, you know, a purist, like a loyalist to my team.
Hopefully, the computer's not playing favorites.
That's true.
Good luck.
We know who they would be. 14 minutes in front of the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning.
I'm Lex Friedman. I run my own business, so I know from experience, hiring new employees can be tough. Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites, and now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 50-plus job sites, including Craigslist, LinkedIn, and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 200,000 businesses. And right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ. That's ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ. One more time, to try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ.
Thanks for being with us. Time now for an automotive update, and it's brought to you by AutoTrader.com. With AutoTrader Alerts, they'll let you know when the price drops on a car you've been searching for. They'll even send you cars that match what you're looking for. Sign up for text alerts at autotrader.com. How loyal are you to the brand of car or truck you drive? Some car brands command high customer loyalty. As you imagine, others command very little. A site called 24/7 Wall Street put together some data from Kelley Blue Book to determine a brand's loyalty rating, determined by current owner's intentions to buy a car of that same make again. The car makes with the most loyal customers, Ford, Honda, and Toyota, which keep at least 50% of their customers coming back on average. Not surprisingly, those are also among the best-selling brands in the U.S. The brands, by the way, with the lowest customer loyalty, Mitsubishi, Chrysler, Dodge, Jaguar, and Scion. It's 9 minutes now in front of the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Gina Cervetti is back. She has America's first news.
Good morning. We're following some merger-related developments this morning with late word that Dollar General is offering $9.7 billion for Family Dollar in a move to scuttle Dollar Tree's bid. U.S. small business lending has been stuck in low gear behind most other types of business and consumer loans. The FDIC says that at the end of the first quarter, banks held $585 billion in loans to small businesses, 18% below the peak in 2008. President Barack Obama's back in Washington for a two-day break from his Martha's Vineyard vacation and reportedly has meetings on at least two fronts, airstrikes in Iraq and the violent clashes in a St. Louis suburb following the police shooting death of teen Michael Brown. Missouri's governor called in the National Guard to help restore order in Ferguson, where the shooting took place, as last night brought more clashes between demonstrators and police who used smoke devices to clear the city.
As a crowd approached the shopping center, multiple Molotov cocktails were thrown at police.
Highway Patrol Captain Ron Johnson. U.S. jets pounded Sunni insurgent positions to ease the siege of the strategically vital Mosul Dam in Iraq. And late news from the AP's Twitter feed today says that Iraq State TV is reporting that Iraqi forces, Kurdish troops, have retaken the strategic Mosul Dam from Islamic militants. Fed Chair Janet Yellen delivers a speech from Jackson Hole later this week. Vincent Malanga is with LaSalle Economics and says investors will be paying very close attention.
There's been improvement recently in the economy, and the labor market has been looking healthier. So I think they want to hear about what their timing may be to alter monetary policy going forward.
Their timing, meaning the Fed's timing. Stock futures look higher this morning ahead of updates on home builder sentiment. This week, we have housing starts and existing home sales on the docket as well, and the latest on our consumer prices. The federal government must sign off on the sale, but New England's tallest lighthouse has attracted a top bid of $78,000. More than a dozen bidders vying for Boone Island Light, built in 1855 on a tiny island 6 miles off of York, Maine.
I saw that the island itself is about 300 feet by 700 feet.
And not much to it.
Somebody described it as a hellish place for ships to pass through with all those jagged rocks.
I'm sure that's probably the case.
So while initially it sounds like, well, it would be really fun to own your own island and lighthouse, it just doesn't really sound all that great when you start to dig down underneath.
Yeah, you might get into a little inclement weather out there off the coast of Maine.
Might be a little chilly once in a while. Thank you, Gina. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Thanks for being with us. Reality TV shows are changing the way we watch TV, even if you don't watch those kinds of programs. Market Watch reporter Charles Passy has put together a list of things that reality TV won't tell you. Among them, reality TV is not the ratings champ it used to be.
American Idol is probably the most noteworthy example. It went from being the number one show in America for something like 7 years running. Now, the best it could be was 17th place in Nielsen's ratings of the most watched shows.
One other interesting finding, reality shows may be bad for your health.
There's this notion that people think reality is being catty, is being gossipy, is partying all night. And there have been some studies that people who watch reality TV indeed engage in more reckless behavior.
He also writes that reality TV excels at the art of copycatting. The Real Housewives of Orange County led to the Real Housewives of New York City, Atlanta, New Jersey, Beverly Hills, Miami, and Washington, D.C. Plus, it spawned other shows featuring stars from the series. On top of that, shows beget knockoffs. For example, after Pawn Stars became a hit on the History Channel, True TV introduced Hardcore Pawn. For Gina Cervetti, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to the Wall Street Journal this morning.
Being in global sales, I never know where my job will take me. The last thing I need to worry about while traveling is outrageous data charges. That's why I switched to T-Mobile's Simple Choice for Business Plan. I get unlimited text and data in over 100 countries at no extra charge. No multiple SIM cards or international data plans. I just land, turn on my phone, and it works. Switch to T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/business.
Limited time only. Subject to change. Capable device required. Standard speeds approximately 128 kilobits per second. See T-Mobile.com for details and included destinations.